Buddy. David. David. It's all about the body. I mean, it's all amazing, yeah. I mean, when we start meditating, you know, I mean, we suddenly realize that we have a body, huh? And that the body gives us trouble. All our life, you know, we just used it, you know, huh? If it was there, yeah. Never thought about it much, yeah. I mean, we just put some gasoline in, you know, some oil, and, huh? And drive it, and drive it, and drive it, yeah. And then now we sit for meditation and then we suddenly, hey, we have a body, yeah? It hurts here, it hurts here, it hurts there, yeah? That's normal, yeah? So, how are you doing? I mean, lots of people, what? I mean, use the time wisely, you know, practice, yeah. I mean, there are two ways of practice, yeah. One is, yeah, samatha practice, and the other one is investigation, yeah. in the path of liberation, sila samadhi panya, yeah. Samadhi, you know, is the samatha practice, yeah, where we get calm and where we get energy. When we come out of samatha, yeah, when we have the energy, we do investigation. Investigation of the body. That develops investigation of the body, develops in our wisdom. Panya. That's what we need for liberation. I talked often about, you know, the path of liberation, especially, you know, the path to Sotapanna. It's not beyond our means, yeah. But we need to put some effort in our practice. Our mind's constantly going out, you know, we have to train it, yeah? Just like the Lord Buddha said, you know, the training of a war elephant, huh? He compared the training of a monk to the training of a war elephant. Huh? Anybody remembers? Huh? Yes. Yeah? Did you, Emily? Huh? You remember that? Huh? How is it? First you catch this white elephant, yeah? And then what you do, you put a rope around his neck, you know, and tie it to a pole. That's samatha, yeah? The elephant wants to go away, yeah? And he runs out, but you know, I mean, the rope is thick, yeah, and the pole is strong, yeah? So he cannot escape. And that is our tying ourselves, our mind to the Buddha or to Anapanasati. The same thing, yeah? Once the elephant realizes, you know, that it cannot escape, it puts itself to rest. That's when we enter samadhi. But then, you know, how is the training going on? Does anybody remember the sutta? Yeah? Huh? Then, you know, the soldiers come with spears, you know, and picks the elephant. Huh? So that he knows pain. Yeah? And then, because he's the king's war elephant, you know, I mean, he shouldn't be afraid of any spears, he shouldn't be afraid of any wounds, you know, he shouldn't be afraid. So that the king, you know, can ride on the elephant, and when he dies, you know, he just, you know, slowly goes down. It doesn't go up wild, you know, like us, yeah? That was, you know, I mean, the Lord Buddha used it, no? It's not mine, I never trained an elephant. But, you know, I mean, he came from the warrior class, so, I mean, they had war elephants, yeah? So he used this, you know, as a similar for the training of a monk, yeah? Or for somebody, you know, who wants to reach the path to enlightenment. Remember that, yeah? I mean, it is, yeah? In the beginning, you know, it is calm, you know, it is nice, it is beautiful, and it gives us energy. But then, you know, I mean, it gets really painful, yeah? I mean, think about it, you know, when soldiers from all sides come and peek at us, yeah? Huh? And put the spears inside us, you know, and then bleeds, you know, and then the wound heals, yeah? That's not nice, yeah? But we have to resist it, yeah? Don't forget this, you know, I mean, this part of practice, you know, especially, you know, the investigation for gaining wisdom, you know, it is really tough. I still I still remember the training of Lung Dama Bo, I mean, not literally, but he was stepping on our toes, and then looking at us and said, "Does it hurt?" To show us where our pain is, because we don't want to see the pain. We don't want to see the dukkha. Let me use a different simile. I mean, our skin is full of thorns. So if somebody else comes, and presses on the thorn, of course it hurts, doesn't it? But instead of ripping out the thorn, knowing where it sits, and then taking it out, that of course hurts as well. But then afterwards, the wound heals, and there's no more, and then he can press as much as he wants, or other people, I mean, when we live in the world, we're constantly, are bothered by this, constantly other people pressing our check in the box, and then it comes out, We defend ourselves. We defend our self. So the moment you try to defend, then you know, there's something wrong. If somebody accuses you of something and your heart is completely free of it, you don't take any offense. But if it is true, then of course you defend it. No, I'm not like that. No, I'm not an a-hole. No, I'm not full of shit. No, I'm not stupid. We are constantly defend our self of what we think we are. And that is important for us to realize. The moment we get offended, I mean, that is something, we look at it. It is just like pressing on one of the thoughts, So, I mean, we look at it, What did what was offended, or what is in pain, And then we remove that thought, And the more thoughts we remove, the freer we are, And then people come to us and calling us names and we don't take any offense, But, this is hard, This is really tough, So, I mean, Lung Dama Bo was constantly, constantly pointing out, where we still had pain, or where we still, had wrong view, Because mostly it is wrong view, Wrong view about what we think we are, Or how we are, or who we are, and what, And then somebody, we think, we are good, we are so gentle, and then somebody comes and tells us, no, you're the opposite, And then we take offense, And then we defend ourselves. No, I'm not like this. No, I'm not like this. No, I haven't done it like this, This is showing us, as a good practitioner, the moment we start, to pulling up our defenses, What are we defending? Something that we want to destroy along the path, isn't it? Maybe you don't understand.
No, I
understand. The path to the selflessness, the path to liberation, is the path of getting rid of oneself, What did the Lord Buddha say? It is easier, as a single person to fight a whole army than to fight oneself. I don't know why I was speaking. You understand that, So whatever we think is ourself, it's just made up. And somebody who can see that very clearly just has to go into Upachara Samadhi, or better, into Apana Samadhi, stay there for a while and then come out. Then he sees how his self is built. It's just an imagination. It is just, for the younger generation, it is an avatar that we build in a game. We give it all these, these values, these abilities and whatever this looks, We play this avatar, And then somebody comes, you know, and destroys our avatar, and then, of course, you know, we are in pain, yeah? So, you know, be grateful, you know, if somebody shows you the thorn in your skin, yeah? I know it's not easy, yeah? Try to be grateful, yeah? At least say it, thank you, thank you. Ah, thank you, thank you. Thank you that you showed me something, you know, that I was not aware of. Because these things that we constantly defend are things that we are not really aware of, yeah? That's why we defend it, yeah? We defend something, you know, that, yeah, that, like I said in the beginning, we have to get rid of, yeah? We defend something, and an imagination of self, yeah? That, at the end of the path, that we want to get rid of, yeah? So why to defend it, yeah? Sometimes, you know, people say something, you know, that is true about us, and then we should just accept the truth, yeah? And maybe thank them, you know, I mean, thank you for pointing this out. I mean, it used to be in my generation, it used to be when we were young lads, you know, it used to be, you know, somebody, you know, a friend said, you know, I mean, he told me, hey, what you did, you know, that was not really good, yeah? I mean, Europe more than in America, yeah, but, yeah. And then you realize, yes, it wasn't good, yeah. Thank you, you know, that the friend pointed it out to me because I didn't see it, yeah. Never happened to you? Maybe I had a special training. No. This is also, you know, I mean, people, you know, people in the West always talk about this Kalayanamitta, yeah. The spiritual friend, yeah? But a spiritual friend points out if you're going in the wrong way, yeah? And that can be very hurtful, yeah? But that's what a spiritual friend is, yeah? If he sees that we deviate from the spiritual path, he points it out to us, yeah? And we should not be offended, but we should be grateful, yeah? Especially if he's right, yeah? That he points out something that we have done wrong, yeah? Because we are not aware most of the time what we are doing and what the effect is, yeah? We are learning that right now, you know, through our practice of samatha, you know, and then a little bit of, yeah? Especially, you know, you get all these things through the daily reflection, yeah? I said this is so important, you know, the daily reflection, yeah? Just looking what is happening, what kind of thoughts were there, what kind of memories, what kind of actions, yeah? And not judging what kind of action, if it was good or bad, yeah? Just let the heart see what kind of action it does, yeah? What kind of results it has. Yeah? The heart is the one who lets go on its own accord. Yeah? It's just like when I say, you know, I mean, we're constantly looking out, you know, who causes us pain, yeah? But while the hand is on the fire, we look in the opposite direction. We always look outside, yeah? And then we see there a shadow, or we see there an animal, or we see there a person, you know? And we always, you know, say, oh, this is the cause for my dukkha. Now, with practice, you know, we turn our head around, you know, and see that the hand is on fire. Does anybody have to say, pull it out of the fire? No. You see it? The hand is on fire? You automatically pull it. Yeah? That is the way. That's why we, in practice, we have to teach Shaha. Yeah? See what you are doing. And the daily reflection helps us. Yeah? So we have to do it really daily, you know, once a day, you know, or for people who have a bad memory, twice a day, you know, that is okay. Yeah. Until you get to the stage where you can really see it, you know, like a film, you know, rushing down, you see all these memories, you know, you see all the action, you see all the words, and you see the results, yeah? But that takes a lot of training, yeah? But everything can be trained, yeah? In this way. So remember, you know, yeah? Remember these things, yeah? Remember the training of the war elephant, yeah? Remember, you know, the saying of the Lord Buddha, you know, that as a single person it's easier to fight a whole army, that's quite painful, yeah? Than to fight oneself, yeah? And defending, yeah? Any action that you did, you defend, you know, I mean, there's something wrong, yeah? Let a red alarm lamp go on, you know, say, oh, there's something wrong. What am I defending? Huh? I'm defending something that I want to get rid of. That's quite useless, huh? Or? Huh? it makes it even harder, you know, to get rid of. Huh? Hmm? And of course there is pain, yeah? And sometimes we cry, you know, I mean, yeah, I remember the situations where I was crying, yeah? No matter, you know, if my girlfriend cheated on me or if my colleagues, you know, I mean, put me down, you know, I mean, I was crying, you know, because it really hurts, yeah? It hurts ourselves, yeah? What we think about what is self, yeah? What we think we are, what we think, you know, what we imagine we are, yeah? But it's not, yeah? It's just, it's imagination. And when you think about your life, you know, from when you were 3 years old or 5 years old or 10 years old, I mean, yourself changes all the time. Yeah? It changes over the last 20 years, you know, for older people over the last 60 years. Yeah, it does change the self. Yeah, and then we don't have a problem with it. Yeah, but we see it as something that is constant. Yeah, and if we do some investigation, then we see it has changed, yeah? Our views have changed, yeah? Our opinions have changed, yeah? Whatever we are, you know, can be changed, yeah? Has been changed, yeah? See, yeah? This is just a, you know, I just wanted to make this short reminder, yeah? keep it in mind, yeah? So, I mean, the next time you see yourself defending something, yeah? Oh, wait a minute, yeah? What am I defending, huh? Okay. Yeah. So, now you can ask, yeah? Now you can ask questions, you know, because that was the main point of today, yeah? I just gave a little pre-talk, yeah? Do you have any questions? Are there any questions here? Richie's? No question. Lay people, huh? They always come in the morning, I have so many questions, you know. When I ask, do you have any questions? No question. Okay, so, yeah. Somebody comes and read the question that from the website. Okay.
So, I'm very curious, as a lay person, how to try and live as blamelessly as possible. And you guys as monks are taking all these extra precepts.
Yeah.
And I just wonder, beyond the 5 or the 8 precepts that we take, what else can a layperson do to really try to minimize this kind of confusion
and
blame? Don't
worry so much about this. It is a play tool also of the kilesas to make you worry and not to practice, yeah? Remember one thing, yeah? The Mechis here in Thailand have 8 precepts. If you keep these 8 precepts perfectly, yeah? Or as good as possible, that is enough, you know, to end suffering or to end dukkha. Because there are quite a few Mechis here in Thailand who, through the 8 precepts, have reached, you know, Nibbana. Keep the 8 precepts that you have, yeah, very clear, very, how do you call it, yeah? Yeah. Keep them as good as possible, and that's enough. And don't worry about it. Actually, when you look at the rules of a monk, you know, it is just refined, it is the refinement of the 10 precepts for a novice, yeah? The precept itself, you know, I mean, you look at them, they are rather wide, yeah? But the precepts for the monks are very specific, yeah? But they all fall within the 10 precepts. Don't worry too much, because that, you know, it can also be a tool of the kilesas to distract you from your practice, yeah? I mean, keep the 8 precepts and just practice samatha and vipassana, yeah? And then you're safe. You can go. Yeah. Okay. You understood? Yeah. I remember, you know, in Germany there was this, you know, in the Buddhist community, we have to make the sila perfect. You cannot make the sila perfect if your samadhi is not good. If your panya is not good, yeah? I mean, just the five precepts, to keep the five precepts as perfectly as possible, yeah? I mean, you have to have samatha and you have to have panya, yeah? Otherwise you can't keep them. Yeah? But to stack up, you know, more precepts, you know, I mean, yeah? Then you worry all day long about your precepts, you know, and your samatha and panya is gone. Huh? Okay? Any other question, yeah?
I have a question about the citta,
yeah,
and the personality, because as I understand, when the citta comes into a body after born, it has no personality. But then the body has, or the person has a personality. So where does personality come from that make all this you and...
It's a good question, yeah? The citta has a personality. And that personality is defined by its karma it has done in its previous lives. So when it comes into a body, yeah, it is just like you buy a computer in a shop, yeah, and then you put your programs onto this computer. And that's what you do in the first 5 or 10 years of your life or 18 years of your life. You put all the programs of your previous personality into it. But of course, you know, I mean, through your environment, also these personalities can be changed, you know. Yeah? Some can be minimized and others can be increased, yeah. That depends on the environment. But the citta chooses also its environment because of its personality. So you chose your parents, yeah, because you felt, you know, you felt some karmic attraction to them. And, you know, because of your personality, yeah? And your kids choose you, you know, because of their karmic, you know, attraction to you or to your wife or, yeah, I think you don't have kids, yeah? But that's what normally happens, yeah? So the personality is already in the citta, but it needs to program the brain, yeah? I mean, the brain or you can think about this body, you know, as a humanoid robot, yeah? It has to be programmed, yeah? When you look, you know, when you look at, how humanoid robots are programmed, it takes a long time, yeah? For us to program this body, it takes 18 years, yeah? So it's a very long time. But you put all your personality in, yeah? But, like, personality is never fixed, yeah? It changes, you know, it changes with our environment, it changes from the input of our senses that we get, it changes with a lot of things, yeah? So, and it has changed, you know, from the day that you were 18 until now the day there you're 50 or whatever, yeah? And you can see it, yeah? But we normally don't want to see it. We always want to stay the same, yeah? So we don't want to see the changes, yeah? So the citta, you know, the citta, you know, I mean, it is, you know, it is in the gloss of avijja, yeah? And as long as it is in the gloss of avijja, it has the kilesas that constantly manipulate us, yeah? And this manipulation and the results of this manipulation of what we do, what we think and what we say, you know, creates this karma. And it's not the citta that goes into the next life, it is the karma, yeah, that goes into the next life, yeah. And the karma is your personality, yeah. But this changes, yeah. I mean, karma changes. We make some good karma, so we are happy, you know, in certain things, you know, go easier. Or we make some bad karma and, you know, I mean, we get depressed, you know, and other things will change, yeah. So there's a constant change, yeah. Okay?
So the citta, when the kilesa is around, that creates an ego.
Yes.
But if all the kilesas
are gone, there is no ego.
There is no ego. So the pure citta,
yes,
is without.
Yeah. It was, if somebody, you know, if somebody ever met an arahant, yeah? I mean, it's an amazing thing, yeah? When you see an arahant, yeah? Sometimes, yeah? I mean, the first thing is, he doesn't have an ego, yeah? When you see gurus, they have a big ego. No, you can't approach them. An arahant, you always can approach them, yeah? And you can even walk through them. without even noticing that he is there. Because if he's not engaged with the world, he's not present. If he's engaged, then he's completely engaged. So, I mean, you see his full presence there. So when Lungta Mahabua, you know, sat there, you know, I mean, and nobody was there, you know, after the meal sometimes, you know, nobody was there, or visitors came, you know, then he suddenly, you know, I mean, rose to life. And the moment they were gone, you know, I mean, he went back. Yeah. You have to really experience, you know, to see, yeah. I mean, when you see teachers, you know, and I've met a lot of teachers, you know, in my life, yeah. I mean, I've practicing since 89 or something like that, yeah. I mean, they all have a big ego and you hardly can approach them, yeah. But when I saw Lungta, you know, I didn't even realize, you know, I mean, an old man walking by, yeah. Nobody would think, yeah, I mean, that he's an aunt or he's something special, yeah. Because there's nobody walking by, yeah. But the moment he's on the stage, you know, I mean, he's fully present, yeah. And then he speaks, yeah. And the moment, you know, I mean, the moment he's not needed, boop, it falls back, you know, and there's nobody there anymore. And to experience that, you know, I mean, that was my, you know, my good fortune, you know, to live with an Arahant for 15 years. But it's not the only Arahant I met, you know, Lumpu Li I met also. It was the same thing, yeah. They are there and not there, yeah. The moment they are not needed, they are not there, yeah. But the moment they are needed, they're completely there. It's not with us, you know, we are most of the time, you know, if somebody talks to you, you know, I mean, as a colleague, you know, talks to you, I mean, you're half with him, or sometimes even, you know, 25% with him, and 75%, you know, you're with other things, yeah? Yeah? You're never there completely, fully, yeah? I noticed, I mean, this was one of my trainings when I was still a lay person and still working, yeah? When I did my daily reflection, I realized, you know, I mean, this communication with my colleagues, I mean, it takes hours, you know, and we never get to a point, yeah? And then I realized what I was doing wrong. Because I was still with my work, I didn't want them to interrupt my work, but they wanted something from me, so it will never, you know, I mean, it took a long, long time. Né? Then I decided, okay, now, a colleague came in, yeah, and then I said, okay, that's where my work was, now put my attention on him, and then within 5 minutes, the problem was solved. Yeah? And before it took hours, discussing this, discussing that, and it has nothing to do with the topic at all, yeah? It was not wanting to let go of one's work or what's one, yeah, occupation that one had before one was gotten interrupted. Okay? So, any more questions? Then we read the question from, yeah?
I have noticed that your talks have gotten softer. Is it because you are not practicing enough?
Softer, yeah. I mean, when you listen to the talk that I gave to the Australians a few days ago, it was tougher, yeah. No, the problem is you're so busy with your practice, huh, that you have no really interest, yeah. The only thing why I speak or when I speak is that people are interested in the Dhamma. Yeah. If there is no interest in the Dhamma, I mean sometimes I don't know what to say, you know. I said, okay, read the questions, yeah. Huh? That is the whole thing, yeah. And it has become, yeah. I mean you will see, you know, whenever there's a really good talk, there was always one person who was, I mean, was so keen, yeah, of finding out the truth, you know, or wanting to know this, you know. So, I mean, then he just opens the tap, yeah. And the more you open the tap, the more water flows out, yeah. If you're a little bit interested, you know, I mean, it trickles out, yeah. Yeah? And that's what you mostly see now, yeah. I mean, it just trickles out. Yeah? So it depends on you, yeah? If you want a tough talk, you know, I can give a tough talk, but you know, you have to, yeah? You have to make either something very foolish, yeah? Where I get angry, yeah? Or you have to be really interested in something, yeah? In some aspects of the Dhamma, and that pulls it out. I cannot just give a, you know, I mean, a lecture, yeah? I mean, because I've never studied Buddhism. Okay? So, no more questions then? Then read the question.
One more question.
Yeah?
Something that always was in my mind about the stream winner that come back for six more lives.
Yeah?
Whereas someone is reborn as a stream winner.
Yeah?
In this, because he has five or six lives, can he do some bad action on that life, or it's impossible because he already take out the fetters, or will become a monk on the life, or it's something that, as you mentioned, when an arahant, you cannot see that because he's no ego, but can you see someone that is a stream winner that is reborn the life?
That is very, very difficult. You can assume, if you watch his action, I mean, his actions are always within sila, within the five precepts, yeah? He never goes against the five precepts, yeah? But he still can do a lot of bad karma, yeah? that's not forbidden, you know? But he doesn't make that bad karma that leads him down into the lower realms, yeah? So he always a stream winner, always keeps the five precepts. So he's quite a moral person, yeah? So, but not every moral person is a stream winner, yeah? And, I mean, the only thing, yeah, I mean, for most of the people, you know, I mean, even seeing an arahant, they don't realize he's an arahant, yeah? Because he doesn't advertise it, yeah? Why should he advertise it, yeah? The people can either believe it or not believe it, yeah? So when Lungta Mahabua said, you know, 20 or 30 years ago that he's an arahant, he had a certain purpose, you know, for telling the Thai people that he's an arahant, yeah? Before that, you know, for 30 years he never told anybody. But people who were practicing knew he had something special, yeah? There was something special, you know? I mean, he was always pounding, you know, he was always pounding on the points, you know, and always showing the path, you know, path of practice, right? For me, it's, you know, when I first time, you know, I mean, I was brought up, you know, in the West, you know, with Western Buddhism, yeah, and Western Buddhist teacher, yeah, and I was thirsty, you know, for the Dhamma that actually led to the liberation, you know, from greed and hatred, yeah, and then one of the teachers said, well, there's a book that might interest you, yeah? And it was a book from Lungta Mahabua, yeah? It was called Straight from the Heart, yeah? I read the first chapter and then I knew, this person knows the truth, yeah? This person I have to go and see. Other people read the book and don't understand, yeah? So it is also the faculty, you know, I mean, your development within the practice, you know, that shows you, yeah? I mean, what kind of level this person is on, yeah? No? The Thai, do you understand some of the English? Huh? Khao chai, presented by me?
Bang kham.
Ngu ngu bla bla, huh? Fish, snake. Okay, so. If there is nothing more. No.
So what kind of bad karma could you do if you don't break the five precepts?
I don't know. I really would have to think about it. Yeah. Yeah. But you still can do some bad karma. I mean, but you don't do the bad karma, you know, that leads you down, yeah? No. Mm. I mean, sometimes you still can tell white lies, probably, or things like that, yeah? Or try to defend yourself, you know, knowing, yeah? not knowing, because we are sometimes not aware of what we are doing. Yeah. So sometimes, you know, you say something, you know, and you really don't know. Yeah. You believe that it is true, but it is not true. Yeah. But anyway, I mean, don't. Certainly, when he's come down in the sixth life, he doesn't do any bad karma anymore, right? Because it's his last life. Right? So, don't get so stuck up on the morality, yeah? I mean, I've seen people, you know, get stuck up on the morality, you know? I mean, they are so careful not to do little things, you know? Oh, there's an ant, I should, you know? Yeah? I mean, I met a lot of Tibetan monks at my time when I was, you know, in England or, and they're so stuck up, you know, but then, you know, I mean, they don't want to harm any ant, yeah. But then they go back to the monastery where there are the Tibetan nuns and they rape them, yeah. We are too stuck up, yeah. So, I mean, keep the five precepts, yeah, and that's it, yeah, and then don't worry about it, yeah. We worry about samatha and we worry about vipassana. Yeah? And that gives us a better insight. Understood? Yeah? he sounds like a German. Yeah? high on morality and look down on everybody. You know? I don't say that about you. Look down on everybody who doesn't have the moral standard of the Germans. Are they Canadian Germans, huh? Huh? Ask another Canadian. No? Are you also morally high? Huh? Okay, now, no more questions, then read out the first. There are quite a few, huh?
Three or four, yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to summarize the first question. In these disturbing times, I have a question on serving in the military. Then he describes all sorts of bad things that in the military is being done. And then basically he ends with, this is nothing I want to be any part of. Thus being part of any warfare in any position is abysmal in my opinion, since you cannot find any peace on the battlefield unless you stay away as far as possible and practice. Fighting for one's country might protect wealth in this very lifetime, but after death you might go to hell for breaking the precepts in quite a serious way. Any advice? Should one stay away from military service?
Of course.
Best regards.
I would advise, you know, I mean, to stay away, yeah? Not only from military service, yeah? When I was looking, you know, I had the military service because it was mandatory, yeah. I mean, it taught me a lot, you know. I was 2 years in the army, yeah. Taught me a lot, you know, and I saw a lot, yeah. And happily, you know, wasn't involved in any war at that time, you know, it was peaceful. But then, when I was finished with my study, I was making sure also not to work in the arms industry. Because I didn't want to produce weapons that kill other people. Yeah. So I wanted, yeah, so I ended up working in the health, you know, in the health industry. That's probably nowadays not much better. But at that time it was still okay. No, I wasn't in the medical, and yeah, I was more in that technical aspect there. MRI and things like that, yeah. So, to stay away as far as possible, also from the industry, from the war industry, yeah. That, I mean, it upsets, you know, it upsets us, yeah. I mean, who wants to get killed, who wants to get injured, you know, nobody, yeah. So, okay, second.
Any advice on Vedana and body sensitivity that tricks the nervous system into believing there is danger as we go deeper within? Thank you, Tanaja.
Within what?
That's it, within. I think he means like deeper samadhi.
Deeper into samadhi, yeah. Yes. if he remembers when he was a small child, you know, I mean, he was afraid to go to sleep, yeah. Because he didn't know if he was waking up the next day. So it is the same kind of fear. Yeah? But we actually, and it seems to be a real fear, yeah? When we actually go into samadhi, I mean, we are free from self. And the first time, hopefully it is accidentally, you know, we go into there and we see the freedom, yeah? The freedom from, you know, from self, yeah? And that gives us incentive, you know, to overcome this fear. But if we have not accidentally dropped into samadhi, then it is rather difficult. So, before you sit down and do samatha, yeah, and say whatever happens, yeah, I don't worry about what goes, yeah, I will stay with what is left, yeah. So everything that can disappear, let it disappear and stay with what is there. Yeah. That's the only advice I have, yeah, and that's how you can overcome fear. But you have to tell yourself each time, yeah. I mean, the closer you get to the stage where you drop into samadhi, I mean, this fear, and this fear is brought up from the kilesas. One has to realize this. It's brought up by the kilesas. So it's nothing good, yeah? And it's nothing, you know, protective of the body, yeah? It's not even the fear that we, you know, when we go out on the street that a car can, you know, run over us, yeah? I mean, it is not realistic, yeah? It might not even protect us, yeah? It only, you know, the only thing that protects us is sati. To be aware of what we are doing, yeah? Why we are doing and what is the result of our doing, yeah? If I am afraid, you know, walking on the street and a car rushes down, you know, and kills us, yeah? I mean, this fear is not useful, yeah? If we tell ourselves, yes, when I go out, you know, when I go out from my house door, you know, or from the sidewalk or across the street, I will have sati. That is the one that thing that really protects us. Yeah. Is it answered? I don't know. I can't remember.
I think so.
Good.
Next question. I just returned from a Goenka meditation retreat and was not allowed to use buddho as a concentration object, with the theory that it is an artificial object and won't lead to the deeper understanding compared to anapana. Why is it that with your teaching of Buddha it is completely acceptable and theirs not?
The Buddha teaching comes actually from Lumpuman, who was the founder of the forest tradition here in Thailand, yeah? Because he saw it, you know? He saw that it is useful for lots of people, yeah? At the first, you know, he gave it as an amulet. You know, people in Thailand were afraid of ghosts, yeah? So they always come to monks, you know, to get an amulet, you know, that makes the ghosts away, yeah? That's like that. I don't know if in Singapore they are afraid of ghosts, yeah? Probably yes, that the Asians are more afraid of ghosts, you know, than the Europeans. I always think, you know, I mean, whenever, you know, in Europe, you know, we hear of a house that is haunted, you know, we like to go there. but the Asians, you know, they go far away. Yeah. We want to see these things, you know. When we know, oh, this castle has a ghost, you know, I mean, we want to have the experience, you know, the rattling noise, you know, when he goes through the wind. Yeah. But the Asians are completely afraid, yeah. We're completely lost.
Goenka retreat.
The Buddha, yeah. So, I mean, Lumpuman gave the Buddha, you know, yeah. So they wanted an amulet, you know, something, you know, some monks make an amulet, you know, and then you put around, and then they are not afraid of ghosts, yeah? But the ghosts are not afraid of these amulets. So Lumpuman gave them Buddha, 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 recite Buddha, you know, if you recite Buddha, the ghosts will not be able to enter. And it's actually true, yeah. If your mind is completely fixed on the Buddha, or be it anapanasati, the same, yeah. But they couldn't work, the farmers, you know, I mean, Lumpuman taught the farmers, they couldn't work with anapanasati, yeah. So, I mean, he said, Buddha is fine, yeah, I mean, use Buddha, yeah. So when he was walking Chongkom in Chiang Mai, you know, I mean, he probably did anapanasati, I don't know, but, so the locals, you know, the local farmer, look, I mean, he's walking up and down, he's walking up and down. What is he looking for, yeah? So they asked him, what are you doing there, yeah? Then he said, you know, I lost my Buddha, I'm looking for my Buddha, yeah? And that made the people interested, yeah? Buddha, can we help you search it? Yes, you can help me search it, yeah? So, I mean, he used it as a means, yeah? There's nothing wrong with using the Buddha or Anapanasati. Both are one object, yeah? And the important thing is to concentrate on one object, yeah? And use that as your anchor, yeah? You can use also Dhamma, or you can also Sangha, yeah? The traditional teaching of Goenka, yes, yeah, they say this is not, yeah, that's not good, yeah? But you will have the same result, you know, be it with Buddha or Anapanasati, you can go into Samadhi or you can even go into deep Samadhi. Yeah. So, I mean, lot of pupils of Lumpuman use the Buddha meditation. But when I came to see Lungta Mahabho and asked about your practice, you know, I mean, he asked me, what are you doing? Are you doing Anapanasati or Buddha? Yeah? When you do Anapanasati, do this. When you do Buddha, do that. Yeah? Yeah? To overcome. So, I mean, it's the same thing. So you shouldn't worry about this, you know, what other people say. Yeah? You should see, you know, I mean, if the Buddha leads him to calm, that's it. Yeah. I mean, even the Lord Buddha was not specific. He said, you know, I mean, if a teacher teaches you and it leads to good, you know, I mean, follow it. Yeah? Yeah. If you see that it doesn't lead to good, you know, I mean, then skip it. Yeah? The Lord Buddha was much more open-minded than some of the teachers, you know, especially in the West. Yeah, not so open-minded. Yeah? I think. Okay. So next question.
This is a bit broken English, so I'm not sure I even understand. Dear Rajan Martin, I just came back from a meditation retreat and decided to intensify my practice at home. Today was the first day since I came back. I was focused all day long on Anapanasati, and in the evening some anger came at the surface and I became really in my mind and less focused on the work. Do you have advice for me? As you probably remember, already face a lot this problem while intensifying my practice, so I could still develop my meditation and still being able to do a good job at work.
If you intensify your practice, yeah, and you push too much, be it the Anapanasati, push too much concentration or push too much Buddha, you are less likely to be aware. And if you understand my teaching, you know, especially about sati, that in the beginning we get the Buddha rolling, or we get, you know, the Anapanasati going, and then we observe the breath. We want to know at every moment how the breath is. If he does that, then he would see the thoughts before the anger, or the memories that come up before the anger, and then he could correct. Mostly it is his views, you know, or his frustration, you know, I mean, suddenly something comes up, this doesn't work, and then he gets frustrated, and then he does buddha more, and he gets more frustrated, and then anger comes up. He doesn't see that. That means he has not developed his sati enough, yeah? The knowingness of the heart, you know what? The heart is the prime mover, or the chitta is the prime mover. I use them, you know, chitta and heart, you know, I mean, you can use them interdependently. Yeah? You can use them both. So the chitta is the prime mover. Before you have a thought, you know, the intention comes from the chitta. Before you do a move, the intention comes from the chitta. Yeah? And I told you before, you know, if you are interested, you could see that for yourself with your own eyes, yeah? Huh? Before a thought arises, there's an intention in the chitta, then it moves the heart, so the heart goes up a little bit, the beat of the heart goes up, and the lungs, you know, take on more air, you know, more oxygen, you know, and then it goes up to the brain, and then slowly the thought is formed. You're only interested in the outside things. You're not interested, you know, how this computer works, yeah? Let's take it apart, yeah? Let's see, you know, the CPU, you know, what else is there? Ah, there's memory, you know, how does the memory, you know, work together with the CPU? And so on. Yeah, I mean, you can investigate all these things. Huh? Have I answered it?
I think so, yeah. Okay. He's like worried about not doing a good job at work.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, sati. Sati is the important thing, yeah.
This one has been answered. Tanajan, how can I control what I say? Sometimes I had met with big trouble because of not controlling what I wrote in public forum. I don't want this to happen again. I don't think before writing, but feel beforehand that it is good without really knowing the consequences. Thank you.
I mean, lots of people here share the same problem. Why do you want to write in a public forum? You should investigate it. I mean, the daily reflection shows you, yeah? I mean, if you use the daily reflection and sees, yeah, what happens before you go into the public forum? First of all, why do you go in the public forum, yeah? Or why do you go on Twitter or Facebook, yeah? Something, you know, there's dukkha. There's dukkha in the heart, yeah? Sometimes it's just boredom, you know, we don't know what to do, you know, or something, you know, comes up, we want to know, and then we play around, you know, we look, you know, and this comes up, you know. When you look at kids, you know, I mean, it is amazing how fast they scroll through all these pages, yeah, I mean, I can't even follow it, yeah. It's a tool of the devil, yeah. Anyway, he should control it, yeah? Before he goes onto this forum, he should ask himself, what do I want from this forum? What can the forum give me what I don't have? Yeah? If he looks, you know, for interesting things, then he should look inside, yeah? If he looks, you know, for being connected with other people, I mean, where do you find connection with other people? Inside, yeah? So what do you want in this forum, yeah? And then, you know, if you know what you want in this form, I mean, you can look it up, yeah? But then be try to be aware. And it is very difficult. That's why, yeah, in the beginning, that's why I say, stay away from these things. Eh? If you really want to develop your practice, stay away from all these, what is it, social media networks, or SM, or whatever. I mean, I was brought up, I didn't have any of these things. Anybody, I mean, Joy and him, probably the same thing, yeah. I mean, TV, you know, I mean, it wasn't even in our home, yeah. What did we do? We had radio, yes. Yeah. I mean, sometimes listen to some stories, you know, some broadcasts on the radio, yeah. Or listened, you know, in the 60s and 70s, listen to music, yeah. I mean, the Beatles and Rolling Stones, you know, were on the radio. Yeah, but that's all. Yeah? No TV, you know, no brainwashing. Yeah? Yeah, we just went, you know, we just created our own games. Yeah, we played, you know, I mean, all the families, you know, I mean, had at least 3 kids, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 kids, you know, and they were all on the street, and then we had balls, you know, and then we created our own ball games, yeah. Or we went in the woods, you know, and we created our own stories, yeah? I mean, that's creativity. Now all the creativity is gone with all these games, you know? I mean, they are all pre-programmed, yeah? What would you get then? No creativity, but just fast, yeah? I mean, it's the opposite of samadhi, you know, what these things are doing with us, yeah? It's the opposite of samadhi. Yeah, I think I explained it, yeah? So, if there are no more questions, yeah? Okay?
I was wondering, so I come from Zen, and we usually have like set meetings that you have with your teacher.
What?
In Zen, you have set meetings with your teacher.
I'm
wondering if it's the same.
You come when you have questions, yeah? I know the system, you know, it's not only in Zen, it is also in Western Buddhist, you know, meditation courses, yeah. When I But I was in England, you know, for 4 months, you know, I mean, there was a teacher, you know, I mean, and you know, you had a meeting pretty much every day with the teacher, and then you told about all the stories, fantastic stories that you experienced, you know, and the next day you didn't have them anymore. I mean, it's quite useless. So if you have problems with your meditation practice, then when you visit the teacher and ask him, yeah. There's no formal meeting. Yeah? Sometimes I do ask, you know, how is your practice going? You know, I mean, just to remind you, you know, to be a little bit more mindful. But I mean, I don't think, you know, I mean, there's any use in it. You know, just talking. Yeah, and that also, you know, I mean, increases, you know, it increases our thinking, you know, about all different topics. Yeah. Most of the things that come up here in meditation are completely irrelevant. Yeah. Just junk, yeah. Just like junk food, you know, they have no value. Yeah. But they taste delicious, yeah. That's why we eat, yeah. And that's why we put it in your mind. I mean, if you would see the thoughts and the memories that you put into your mind as pieces of stinking garbage, you wouldn't do that. Huh? You don't want to clean out, you know, yeah? Huh? I mean, your heart is as huge as this universe, you know? I mean, you don't want to put all this garbage in, because sooner or later, and now, yeah, you have to take out this garbage, yeah? Huh? And you, oh, yeah? I mean, it's painful, it is attachment, and so on, yeah? Okay? Any other questions? Yeah, then we can go and practice. Do we have to practice again? Yeah.
Is it accurate then to say that meditation consultations, or at least over here, are kind of like consultations with your dissertation advisor at the university? Like you only come when you need something, when you're stuck?
No. I would, you can see it the same way. Yeah. When I came back from Tudong, yeah, mostly, you know, either I had a question, you know, or Long Dao Ma Bo was asking, you know, how was your Tudong, yeah? And then you said this and this happened, yeah. But you went only, you know, during the normal stay in Pantat, you only went to see Long Dao Ma. I mean, he was already fierce, you know, he was looking at what you want, yeah? I mean, you didn't want to come, you know, close to him, yeah? So, I mean, but if you had a pressing questions, you know, I mean, you didn't care, you know, how fierce he looked, yeah? And sometimes, you know, I mean, you couldn't just go up to his kuti, you know, I mean, he was in his kuti, you know, I mean, the door was closed, yeah? So you had to wait outside. But if you waited, you know, so that he could see you, yeah, I mean, he was scolding you, now because you were disturbing him, yeah. So you had to wait somewhere, you know, behind some bushes or some trees, yeah. And then, I mean, he sensed it, of course he knows, you know, huh? So he sensed it, you know, and when he looked at you, that was the invitation to come up, yeah, and then you could go up and then ask your question. Yeah, I thought. All these little details, yeah? All this education. Quite good education, yeah? Sometimes you had to wait for 2 hours, you know? Yeah, he just wanted, you know, to make you, yeah, a little bit, yeah? Do I go now? Is he coming out? All these worries in your head, you know? I mean, he just wanted to see how far are you with your practice, yeah?
It kind of feels though like you're stalking.
What?
It kind of feels though like you're stalking someone.
No, he knew. Yeah, he knew when somebody was around. Yeah, and then sooner or later, you know, when he was finished with his business, you know, when he looked long enough at you, yeah, and then he came out, yeah. But if you didn't really had any business with him, you know, he was quite fierce, yeah? I mean, when you ask him silly questions, you know, I mean, he was really fierce. Yeah. Okay, so, I see you don't want to go back to practice, yeah? Huh? Get up, yeah? I guess I have to get up first. Okay.